Have you heard of functional nutrition before? And are you confused about what it is and how to use it? Welcome to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Bob Sebahar, and my great co-host, Dina Griffin. We are both registered dietitians who are board certified specialists in sports dietetics with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. We are here to help you translate nutrition and sports science research, bring it to real life, and just give you some great interviews every week with a variety of experts so you can enhance your knowledge to optimize your health, fitness, and athletic performance. Now, on today's episode 121, we are talking to an amazing lady, Kyleen Bogdan. She is the performance dietitian for the Cleveland Cavaliers and the co-founder of Forward Fuel Sports Nutrition. Now, we're going to chat all about functional nutrition. We're also going to chat about basketball nutrition. Now, really quick, Kyleen is an amazing resource. As I mentioned, she is the performance dietitian for the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA team, but she is also specializing in a whole food approach where she uses individualized nutrition protocols to reverse chronic illness and improve athletic performance. Now, she has an undergraduate degree in nutrition. She is a registered dietitian, and she also studied directly under Dr. Mark Hyman, whom you may have heard of before, at the Cleveland Clinic for Functional Medicine, where she learned to address food sensitivities, gut health, and nutrient deficiencies in order to maximize one's health potential. So she has put functional nutrition together with her sports nutrition registered dietitian credential, and just to really accentuate the services that she provides individuals and athletes. She's also been quoted as an expert source in many publications, such as U.S. News and World Health Report, ESPN, Time Prevention, The Huffington Post, CBS.com, and Women's Health Magazine. So we are going to have an amazing conversation today about functional nutrition, basketball nutrition. You're going to definitely want to slow the podcast down a little bit, maybe take some notes. But remember, before we do get to the show, be sure to support us by giving us a nice little review on your podcast platform of choice, 5-star review. We just love that to death, so we can help kind of spread the word across the world about our podcast. Now, also one last thing, if you'd like to check out my snack company, All Around Snack Co., I make some amazing metabolically efficient snacks, energy bites, gourmet snack mix, and protein puffs. Head on over to allaroundsnackco.com. And if you use the code ISNPODCAST24, you will get a nice little 15% discount. Okay, on to the episode. Hey, Dina, what do you think about, what comes to your mind when you hear functional nutrition? I'm going to put you on the spot. What do you think?
Oh, good, Bob. Yeah, I think about getting more precise to the individual and using different assessment methods, different from the conventional, you know, standard blood work and standard advice. It's just getting really more specific, but I think we're going to hear a lot more from our guest today.
Yes, today we have a great colleague and friend of mine, Kyleen Bogdan. Thank you so much, Kyleen, for joining us today. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. How are you, Bob?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Thank you. It's always great to see you. And listeners, I know you can't see Kyleen, but she always has a smile from ear to ear. So it just kind of brings joy to your day, no matter when you see her, when you talk to her. So today we're going to delve into functional nutrition, and then we're going to segue into basketball specific sport nutrition. And you'll see why here in a few minutes. But this whole functional nutrition, I feel, is somewhat confusing for our listeners, for athletes, because they really don't know what it is, right? And there's so many dichotomies in the medical field right now, from MDs and DOs and functional this and functional that. I mean, it's so confusing. So Kyleen, we know you are a registered dietitian, a sport dietitian, and a functional nutrition specialist. And that's why we're talking to you about this topic. But can you just, let me be, just give a brief intro, like, with being a dietitian, like, why functional nutrition? Why functional medicine? Like, why did you go that route after becoming a registered dietitian?
Yes, such a great question, because of course that wasn't the original plan. In fact, I didn't even know what it was. Certainly didn't learn about it in school, even at the graduate level. And I can make a very long story short, but at the time, I was practicing conventional sports nutrition, just what you think, counting those macros, pumping out that chocolate milk, calories in, calories out. And I was at Cleveland Clinic outpatient, general sports nutrition at the time. And after seeing such a high volume of patients back to back, even though they were athletes, I started to draw conclusions kind of in the back of my head, like, all right, these athletes are reaching their goals. They're leaning out, or they're, you know, they have more energy, they're recovering faster, but right, their face is full of acne. They're gassy all day long. They're not sleeping well. And it made me think, okay, maybe I am not totally doing as great of a job as I could. And then piggybacking off of that, at the time in the media, some of the greatest athletes in the United States were doing major interviews on major platforms, crediting their nutrition, but it wasn't the registered dietitian. It wasn't an RD. It wasn't the RD on their team. And I thought, why is this? We are supposed to be the elite. We are supposed to be the go-to professional. There has to be something that I am not doing or that I am missing that is going uncovered. And that is when, by chance, I discovered functional nutrition, because Dr. Mark Hyman, he's very well known in this field. He had come to Cleveland Clinic and opened a clinic for functional medicine and functional nutrition. It was, you know, 100 meters down the way from my office. And I thought, let me creep on this a little bit. Let me learn more. Let me see what this is all about. And then I fell in love and I interviewed for the job. And there I was in functional nutrition.
Wow. And you have some background, right? As being an athlete and having some, let's just call it symptomatic things going on that I think was part of that plan or part of that progression also, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I was the athlete with a face full of acne. I was the athlete, right? I was farting after meals and I didn't think anything of it because I thought, man, I'm going to be in the weight room for a while. I'm going to be on the track for a few hours. Like, who cares what I eat? I'm going to burn it off. But you know, I was often tired. And like I said, my skin was gross, but I didn't think it had anything to do with nutrition because the best dermatologists were telling me, no, it's not related. Even my coaches thought, yeah, you know, just make sure you eat enough calories. You'll be fine. And it's just so much more complex than that. And fast forward a bit, I had lived in a very nice, newly renovated apartment in downtown Cleveland, and I didn't realize it, but it was full of black mold, full of black mold. So I was training for a half marathon at that time, and I went from, you know, being able to run 10 miles like it was nothing to being 1 mile in and feeling like I was dying. And I mean, I was, I don't know, 25 at the time. So it just, nothing made sense. And so collectively, everything I just told you, putting all that together is how I realized, okay, there has to be a better way. I'm going to figure this out for myself.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh. That, and even just the mold thing, because I think a lot of people, we don't know what you don't know, right? Until you know. And sometimes you can't have that tested, or you don't think about those things. And I think that's kind of the lead into this whole functional nutrition is, like, you don't know what you don't know, but I think functional nutrition opens so many doors into exploring what it is we need to know about our body. And maybe if we're even asymptomatic of whatever, like not that gassy, although I tell you what, I don't know if I can set a percentage, but about 95% of the athletes I work with do have that bloating and gassiness. Yes. And it's popular,
especially,
right?
In the endurance community, especially. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's not normal, everybody. PSA, not normal. We can fix that.
It's not normal. Unfortunately, we live with it and we think it's normal. Right. But here's the funny thing about endurance athletes. I remember this early on. Like, you know, you're out for a run or something. Like if Dina and I were running and, you know, we're tooting back and forth, literally, and we're just looking at each other like, aha, that's normal. That's kind of funny, right? It gets a few laughs, right? But that is the norm. Like you go out with endurance athletes and you start tooting and you're like, oh, you don't think anything of it.
Right. Well, how many athletes am I practice? Well, you know, I just pinched a big loaf behind a trash can. I couldn't hold it. And I used 10 leaves to get it. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, sometimes, but that shouldn't be your standard. You got something to pick, my friend.
Oh my gosh. That just brings back memories.
I know. I'm trying not to crack up too much because, I mean, it's kind of humorous, but deep down, maybe not. Kylene, someone interested, like, okay, this is turning on light bulbs. This is more than just counting macros, counting calories. How do you get started with someone when they present to you an athlete, and maybe just starting with like the assessments or the testing kinds of, you know, services that you offer? What does that look like from a functional nutrition perspective?
Sure. It's an amazing question, because the beauty of functional is that no two athletes are alike. No two assessments are alike. And it should never be cookie cutter. At least that's my belief. If you want to do a great job as a functional dietitian, and if you want to give a great name to the functional world, right? There's a terrible reputation of expensive tests and 80 supplements and you know, and there are a few kooks out there, but a lot of us do a decent job. So bringing that back in, when someone comes to me, it's an hour assessment, and it just depends where they are. It depends where they are from a health standpoint, where they are financially, where they are in their athletic career. If you are coming to me eating fast food every day, I'm not going to say, oh, yep, let's jump right into testing and supplements. That doesn't make any sense. We have to work on eating whole foods, eating real foods, working on a recovery shake, a protein powder that works for you that maybe isn't full of 42 different ingredients. That is sometimes where we start. Or if you say, listen, I'm 10 years into my athletic career. I don't feel well. I am really gassy. I am exhausted. My sinuses are a mess. And I've been to everybody and I've done everything and I'm eating clean. I'm eating well. And it's just something is not clicking. That's when I say, okay, let's dive deeper. Maybe we can start way beyond the food approach and offer an advanced stool test and maybe professional grade supplementation to help you get to where you need to be. Not because you should be on supplements for life. That makes no sense. But we need to use supplements as the training wheels on the bike until your body can ride again on its own.
That totally makes sense. Speaking of the supplements, I mean, I just ran into an individual who had worked with a different functional medicine practitioner, no names here, but the list of supplements was astounding. Mm. And there had been no formal testing or like, there was just a lot of oversight. And I'm not trying to diss anyone in the field. It was just appreciation for what you're saying is maybe starting with this hierarchy and then bringing in the supplements when it makes sense. But could you speak a little bit more to the supplement world? Because I think that is where a lot of individuals are fearful of someone who might work in this space, thinking stereotypically like, well, they're all just going to recommend 85 supplements and $1 million worth of these tests and supplements that where's it going to get me?
And many do that. And that's why many people envision functional nutrition as this bucket of supplements. But I just think the more you do this, the more skilled you become, the more you realize how you can pick and choose and get to know that person and their symptoms and their background and their training protocol and really cherry pick what actually needs to be done. And maybe we do the supplements in, maybe we do no supplements, but maybe we do the supplements in phases where we start with something basic, like professional grade turmeric, maybe just to tackle that inflammation, get this person stable, make a few food changes. And then we advance maybe to more, maybe then I say, okay, let's do a stool test. Maybe then I see that we need digestive enzymes and we kind of build upon this protocol, depending on what we're working towards, what they need, right? Their budget and everything in between.
Okay. So here's, you know, kind of playing off of what Dina was saying. There are some skeptics out there with functional nutrition. I mean, they're skeptics with registered dietitians. Let's say for what it is, right? And we know even in the registered dietitian field, we are very different in our specialties and our approaches, our philosophies. Not, you know, with our listeners not knowing too much about functional nutrition, is there, I don't know, is there something they should look for first to start like weeding out, like, Where can they start and say, okay, at least I know I can get unbiased information here in my path to functional nutrition?
I think that's an amazing question because most people, I think, would sit here and list off all their credentials and tell you to look for this board certification and this education, Ivy League, this and that. But at the end of the day, I think when you're looking or deciding between practitioners, you should choose someone who has been through it themselves. There's just a totally different level of understanding and comprehension. If you have been the one who's tired, if you have been the one with gut issues, if you have been the one who couldn't sleep or couldn't recover or whatever, there's just, it doesn't matter how much education you put yourself through. There's just a whole another level of experience when you've been through it. And then after that, it will be helpful to look for someone who is board certified in integrative and functional nutrition, right? IFNCP behind my name is because I went through IFN Academy's program. And that is very helpful. And then with that, you do want someone who has seen a very large volume of clients, of patients, because this isn't something you learn in the textbooks. And the only way really to know functional nutrition in and out, besides going through it yourself, is to have seen a very large volume. And you can read that in someone's biography, typically.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, even from a sport nutrition standpoint, I mean, I'm just thinking of myself personally and professionally. You know, I have battled GI distress as an endurance athlete from day one. Sure. And, you know, you learn a little bit about GI distress, like in your RD work and your internship in the hospital and stuff. But I tell you what, until you're faced with that monster, I mean, it's totally it's different. A whole different world, isn't it? Yeah. And I can't imagine, like, for me, I mean, I have this question all the time. You know, people, I think, assume, and I'm just talking N of one here, as a dietitian, oh, then, you know, you work with athletes with eating disorders. And I say, well, you know, that is really not a specialty of mine. And that's not what I focus on. But I've got some great resources and other dietitians who actually specialize in that. So I think that's a good message, is I feel like some of us specialize in different areas, right? Is that the same in functional nutrition?
Yes, exactly. You know this, my niche is more sports, but I have colleagues who specialize more in functional nutrition oncology, or maybe more of a bariatric, metabolic, you know, type 2 diabetes, blood sugar, children, of course, right? Pediatric. I mean, yes, it's no different.
Yeah. How much do you see, like, as you've progressed in your career, I don't know if you can set a percentage to this or not, but how much do you use functional nutrition on a daily basis? Because you are in both in private practice and, as I will introduce as we transition here soon, you also work in a professional sports realm. So is functional nutrition like the tip of your tongue every single time you see someone, or how much does that take part in what you're doing?
Yes, it is at the tip of my tongue always, but just to varying degrees, right? You're not going to walk up to the average NBA player and say, yep, let's run all these tests.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what turmeric is and how can we incorporate this, or tart cherry, or, you know, functional foods maybe is more heavy on that side versus the private practice. People have typically been through the ringer. They have researched this a bit and they are looking to be 10 steps ahead of maybe where the baseline of functional nutrition is, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Do you get the individual, talking in your private practice, just the normal person, normal athlete coming to you, do they come to you kind of skeptical? And do you feel like you need to prove to them about, like, the worth of functional nutrition, or are they already past that step of believing there's something in functional nutrition that can help them?
So in private practice, it's rare to have to talk. I mean, a little bit you do, to a certain extent. But it's more of education. This is what it is, because usually they're seeking me out. So they've kind of done the work. So not as much, but for sure at the professional level, right? When you're used to someone eating junk food all day, every day, you're making a sale, so to speak.
Yeah, totally. And that's a good segue. So now, you know, we're going to build on this functional nutrition. Now we're going to weave it into a certain sport, and that is basketball, because you also have specialty in that, because you are one of the NBA sport dietitians in the league and have been for quite a while. So let's start big. What, as a whole, like, what do basketball players, and it doesn't have to be NBA, what do basketball, like the sport of basketball, are there unique nutrition challenges within that sport? I mean, I know the answer to this question, of course, Kaylee, but for our listeners, what is unique about basketball and nutrition?
Sure. So again, coming from a functional lens, but what's so interesting is that on the whole, the sport tends to be very, very young. They can now come to me at 19, 20, 21, right? Many have not even gone through college. So the taste buds are more, you know, it's not exactly the quinoa, sweet potato buds, right? So that's a bigger challenge than I think most would ever realize. And then on top of that, part two is just the nature of the sport, right? They're not marathon runners going hard 26.2 as hard as they can, or even hockey, for example. You're just getting drilled on the ice, right? And because the physicality is a little bit different, it's still there, but it's a little bit different. There is more room for error with food. And that is a massive challenge for me, because on the whole, because they're young and because of the nature of the sport, they can eat poorly and still possibly have one of the best games of their life.
Right. And that's the tough part, right? To not only to educate, but to maybe prove the worth or the whole philosophy of just changing nutrition for performance-based. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I work with a D1 basketball, men's basketball team and women's, but I'll talk about the men's. And it's so funny because of the, 15, 16 guys we have on the team. They're all from all over the US, right? So we've got Southeast, we've got Colorado, we've got like inner city, right? We've got some from Spain, some from Finland and Sweden. And you're like, oh my gosh. So now you start looping in the taste preferences, food preferences, socioeconomic, how they grew up around food. Because I get a lot of guys who are like, hey, fast food is how I grew up. Like, that's what I know. And others, I find my international players usually pretty well educated on food. And then they come to the US, they're destroyed. They're like, what is this food? Right. So how do you balance those challenges, or how do you account for those where they came from challenges? And this applies to our listeners too, based on where you live in the world.
Well, on the MBA side of things, it's like cheating because I have all these professional chefs at my fingertips who say, like, this is what he loves. This is how, you know, I want you to make it. Add this spice. Maybe put ground flaxseed in this, that. I mean, they can do it and they can do it at a very high level. So that's almost like cheating to win. But I guess from a private practice standpoint, because you still deal with that, right? I mean,
yeah.
Worked in college before I came here. Many of the international athletes truly never tasted a chicken nugget or a bite of mac and cheese here at age, you know, 20 or whatever.
Exactly.
So, and it's wild because you're competing with the college cafeterias, right? So in that case, it's almost like, or in private practice, it's almost like a weaning. We're not ripping away all these foods, but the education piece is critical. I'm not pulling this away from you because it's quote unquote high calorie or high fat. I don't care about that. I care about your immune system, your digestive system. I care that the gut and the brain connect and that your performance will never reach a peak if we don't start manipulating some of this food. So, you know, fried chicken's the love of your life. Keep that for now, but maybe we can adjust these cookies or these fruit snacks, and maybe I can help you design a recovery shake in your dorm that tastes just like that Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but is actually fueling you properly. And that's how you get the buy-in and the trust, and then we build off of that platform.
Love it.
Yeah, those are important messages. I love that. It sounds like you, definitely structure some of that messaging around where they're at, where they've come from, certainly keeping in mind the deeper health goals along the way. For those younger players, Kyleen, how do you sort of approach if there's any sort of resistance? Or also, do you connect with parents, like, or do you have advice for those listening that might be parents or guardians of younger, like high school age, just if they're into basketball and maybe thinking of pursuing that from a collegiate level or beyond that, just like other messages that might be important to keep in mind or kind of push along the way gently in their development as a player?
Sure. So 2 points to that. One, when the athlete is young, I do have the parent sitting in, you know, at least for the initial visit. Well, and the nice thing is going in, I have a whole medical history before I start making recommendations. So if they're telling me my joints are stiff or like I just can't shave 3 seconds off or whatever it is, I find the pain point and I relate that back to what we're trying to accomplish, right? I know that you just want to bathe yourself in Nutella and Snickers. However, you also said you want to shave 3 seconds off your time. You know, this is how it's a problem. This is maybe it's actually not normal. I know you felt this way for 15 years, but it's not normal to be stiff every single day when you wake up. Or if you're training this hard, you should be gaining lean mass. And there's a chance that the way you're eating is causing inflammation and hindering that. So at least this is my famous line. If you're going to eat junk, let's eat the junk after you finish your athletic career. How about we just use these few years that we have right now to change diet for the better. And then you know what? You go back to eating all the junk you want. But secretly, when they buy in and they eat better, they never go back because they find that it's not worth it. So
when they feel so good when they finally eat that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then it's not even a sale anymore. It's, oh my gosh, I see the light, you know, no going back now.
Ooh, love that. Kyleen, one thought here too. I'm just thinking of female players. Do you have any thoughts on like working with menstrual cycle or performance impacts, just where all of that is now that it's on the radar a lot more these days, I guess, with any female athlete, but anything specific there that you'd like to mention?
So it is really important. I will tell you that I work mostly with males. Full disclosure, I actually hired someone on my private practice team to specialize in, you know, women's health, menstruation and performance, because that is how important that it is. I don't think this should be winged, but yes, of course, your needs change with every cycle, right? As you're bleeding, as you're shedding that lining, focusing more on anti-inflammatory foods is more important, right? We need more iron. I mean, there's just so much that changes with each part of the cycle. And I guess besides saying you should see a specialist if this is a concern, her name is Abby, actually, she's phenomenal. But I do want to say that it is not normal to have irregular periods. It is not normal to miss your period. It is not normal to have painful periods. And that is a sign that we have a little bit of functional work to do. And a lot of, especially endurance athletes, females think that, well, it's because I'm training so hard. That's why it's abnormal. That's why it's painful. And it's just, it's not true. There's a root that has not been addressed and it can improve your performance if we get this aligned.
So I'm not well read on, and this is me, but on any functional nutrition implementation strategies for female, you know, for the menstrual cycle, do those, like, are there any protocols or does anything like that exist? Or are you just kind of coming in kind of the side door with functional nutrition to help females in their menstrual cycles?
I would say it's a little bit of both, but Abby, our specialist, she will run. Well, for, I mean, like I said before, we go through the full assessment and sometimes it is just a matter of food changes. The diet is so inflammatory, it's throwing off hormones. It could be that basic, but she runs what it's called a Dutch test. It's kind of the gold standard for hormone testing. And she will use those results then to figure out how the, you know, diet and supplementation and training needs to be manipulated based on menstruation.
Gotcha. That's perfect. And, you know, it's kind of the whole test don't guess, right? And, and you know, as Dina and I have been saying for years, we don't mandate the testing, but boy, does it help everything. And it shortens the learning curve. And it just helps everything from a financial standpoint and a learning standpoint, right?
Yes. Especially when the individual has been everywhere and turned over everywhere. It's like, okay,
now's the time. Exactly. I just wish they would come to us first. Sometimes.
Better late than never. I know.
Okay. So if we progress from like younger players, male and female, to the college age, male, female, are there major differences in the nutrition education that you see, or is it about the same? Kind of, do you kind of just piggyback on what they've been learning in high school?
We definitely piggyback for sure. Sometimes in college, though, there's more autonomy, right? So I'm teaching more of, hey, if you can't pronounce the ingredients on this protein bar, on this whatever is in your cafeteria, please put it back. But really, as I transition from grade school, high school, college, it's more of more emphasis on sleep, more emphasis on really practicing proper recovery. It's more of like the well-rounded approach, right? Eating until 4 a.m. or scrolling on social media till 2 a.m., is a major part of your digestion, of your recovery, of everything. It's more multifaceted, I think, is what I would say to that.
Yeah. I mean, college age presents so many, I mean, every age presents so many issues, but college now you've got, I mean, they're really trying to balance. They're kind of on their own, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to work their own schedules. They've got practice, you know, they have might have lifting in the morning and then practice in the afternoon and a block of 4 to 5 hour classes and then, or maybe classes at night. I just see so many disturbances in their eating opportunities.
Yes.
And granted, sometimes they can do something about it, but sometimes it's like, how many snacks do we need to throw in your backpack to get you through this break or this class?
Put the words out of my mouth. Yes.
I know, right?
And getting adequate protein, as basic as that is huge for my college athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, along with that, do you foresee like low energy availability? Is that a big issue, small issue in this age group, like from a college age because of their limited time to possibly eat food?
Yes, there's no question. Males and females.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you said. The practice, the, you know, I mean, everything, school. And just, I feel like there's just so much more stress today because of social media, because of all the pressures, because class is more demanding, that it's just, it's worse than it was when I first started 15 years ago, 13 years
ago. Yeah. And it's, you know, to kind of loop in the sport RD for, because I know we have a few sport RDs that listen to us. And thank you, by the way, to our colleagues. You know, I know sometimes your hands are tied at that D1 level and you either have some great resources and finances to work with your athletes, i.e. like testing or, you know, stuff like that. And sometimes it's just bare bones. Like you may not even have a training table to work with and you've got to work with food service in the cafeteria. So, I mean, any words of wisdom to those sport RDs in the trenches in college sports? Doesn't have to be basketball specifically, but.
Yes, for sure. Because I was once that
sport
RD. And the answer I found is that a food and symptom journal, the key word is symptom, and they need to have it completed before they come have that, you know, 15 minute visit with you at least 3 days. Otherwise it's not enough for patterns. 5 would be a dream. And then really highlighting when they feel exceptional, when they feel fantastic, and when they feel like trash in that journal. You can't just hand me a food journal, especially when I have limited time and limited resources. I need to know, do you want to nap after this meal? Are you gassy after this meal? Do you feel incredible after this meal? Did you PR today? Well, then what did that look like, you know, in the 24 hours leading up? And then coming in with that information is how I was able to see a large volume of athletes with virtually zero resources in college.
Yeah, that is great. That is such a great message. And one that I think we often forget because no one ever, why don't they teach us that in school where, oh, you keep a food log, but you also keep a food symptom log, a bowel movement log, right? I mean,
I was never taught any of that. I don't know.
Never. I mean, I don't even think I was mentioned that in my clinical dietetic rotation. I'm like, that just is so important. Okay, Kylene. So I've got this guy, college team, right? And he likes to game. He likes to play, right? And I was literally just talking to him yesterday on the court. And he's like, man, I just, because we were talking about how he's doing. And he's a big guy. He needs to gain a little bit of weight. So we're helping him with that. And he's like, you know, when I'm gaming, I actually find that I eat better. And I was like, huh? I had the weirdest look on my face. Like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, because every hour I set goals for myself. So I drink this amount of fluid or eat this. Like he, like that's the way his mind works.
Wow.
The reason I'm sharing the story is because as we progress now from high school to college, now professional players, I know a lot of these guys, some of them who are like non-married, non-family yet, I know a lot of them like to game, right? So as we get into the NBA players now, progressing with the nutrition principles, strategies, now what do you see as different? So these guys are making some money. Yes. I feel like they've got a schedule that is not involving any classes anymore, right? They've got probably unlimited resources to food and opportunities to meet with professionals like yourself. What's different?
Well, in terms of challenges, the biggest difference is sleep, because we have so many back-to-back games that are close enough to back-to-back. And then we're switching across multiple time zones, sometimes within that, that it totally throws off your sleep schedule, no matter how hard you try, and your eating schedule. Because what are you going to do, starve yourself post-game? Of course not. You're often eating at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And if you didn't like what was at the arena, you're eating on the plane at, 11 p.m. So it's just a totally different set of challenges, albeit the fact that they can't afford a lot and that we do have chefs and we do supply a lot at the facility. So major pros, but also major cons, because no matter how conscious you are, there's some stuff you can't get around.
Yeah, you really can't hack the circadian rhythm and some physiology. I mean, when you pass time zones and it's, you've got 48 hours and you pass through two or three or four time zones, I mean, yeah, there's only so much you can do. Yeah. What's been your biggest, like maybe when you first got into the league as a sport RD versus now, what was your biggest aha moment or challenge when you first got in the league that you would kind of laugh at now since you're more experienced?
That's so funny. That's a good question. I think that maybe when I first started, I was just like so set on making sure everyone ate vegetables and, had enough protein, which is so important, which is so, so, so important. But now it's like we have so much bigger fish to fry. I mean, from the inflammatory foods, from the sleep schedule, from different taste preferences, there's just so many bigger issues that need to be addressed in order for the vegetables, the proteins, the whatever to fall into place. Like, for example, if your digestion is a mess, it doesn't matter that I'm calculating your protein to a T, because you don't have enough enzymes to assimilate and digest that protein, and plug it back into lean muscle. So who cares what the macros are if your gut is a mess?
And now you're not
high level, right?
Yeah. And you're not really, it's fine. I was just thinking about this. Like in high school, you're working with the parents and the players. In college, you're working with the player and maybe the coaches, athletic trainers sometimes. In pro, I mean, it's them and you, right? I mean, but they may have someone on the side, like they may have their personal chef. So it may I don't think they're as flooded with the information. And I'm just thinking social media, because that's one of my challenges personally with any athlete is, I saw this on blank blank social media. And you're like, oh boy. Or I watched this documentary. Oh, great.
I can't wait. Well, I heard it 7 times today. Yes. Right. I get that all the time.
I was just going to ask, Kyleen, if you have to contend with like the diet trends and kind of debunking stuff out there with your players.
Coaches and players, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. Oh gosh. What about testing? Are there some physiological tests or other tests that you do with all the players, regardless of their individual symptoms, or what kind of fun stuff do you get to do on that side?
Again, depends on the player. I think maybe most widely run is micronutrients, right? Vitamins and minerals. I'd say number two in line is stool. And it's not for everybody. Some people, testing doesn't make sense at all. We don't do anything. Some may have 4 different test orders because they love this and they live it and they haven't felt great, or they want to maximize their career and play another 12 years. So, but for sure, the micronutrients in the stool are kind of the staples. And then it just depends. If someone's overly stressed, maybe I'll do a salivary cortisol, right? Looking at stress levels. I don't tend to run much of the Dutch testing. Abby, our specialist on staff, does a lot of that. But I mean, there's just so much we can run if we need to, right? We can dive into environmental toxins, mold exposure. I mean, there's just so many paths you can go down if needed.
Are there other performance related tests you do, like sweat sodium testing or metabolic testing?
Quite a lot of that. Actually, our athletic trainers do more of that in this space. I know that's not the case for many teams, but in ours, that's just kind of how we do it.
Gotcha.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's fascinating. Okay. So now let's talk about kind of the elephant in the room, right? We're going to talk about supplements, right? And we know, like, we've hopefully drilled it into our listeners' minds that it is so helpful to have testing done before you choose certain supplements. And we just want to remind that. But What are your thoughts? I'm going to take you through the age ranges again. Okay. Young, so high school, let's call middle school, high school, collegiate, and then professional. And it could be any athlete, but obviously we're tailoring this to basketball. What are your thoughts on supplements for our young guys and girls? Just overall general thoughts.
Yes, general thoughts. I always do a good quality multivitamin in season just because of the schedule, the craziness. Sometimes that's part of it, the stress. Sometimes it's a lack of interest in colorful foods, fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And also too, just living in the U.S., sometimes the soil quality is not outstanding depending where you are. And there's just so many things you have to account for that in season with those demands being so high, I will do a multivitamin for probably, I don't know, 10 years old and above for sure.
Oh, okay. Does that change with collegiate guys and girls?
Well, building upon that, right? So then I'm doing for sure a multivitamin, and that's when I might be getting into, you know, good quality fish oil, vitamin D, turmeric or curcumin, I should say, and a really good protein powder because they are so busy. They rarely is a college athlete hitting their protein goals, at least when they're coming to see me, right? So I do usually recommend a really good quality protein powder. And you know what? I might even do creatine at that stage too. Just depends what's going on.
Yeah, I think based on if they have access to a training table and if it is three times a day, they may be getting enough protein, but I highly doubt it. Okay.
Exactly right.
So this is good. I like the way you're building. Now build it to the NBA player, the professional player, and it could be WNBA, it could be NBA. Any differences in would you add on more supplements or take away?
Sure. And sometimes I'm doubling it. Sometimes I'm cutting it in half. It depends on the player and their motivation and what they're experiencing, what their complaint is. I tend to spot treat. That tends to work really well. Meaning I design protocols, right? I have protocol for immunity, I have protocol for this, that. And I spot treat, meaning like, were you exhausted today? Did you come from two different time zones? Okay, here's my energy pack, right? Here is, you've been sick, terrible cold. All right, here's my immunity pack. So I find that if I'm not saying take this all day, every day, the compliance is significantly better.
Yeah, for sure. Did you, I'm just wondering too, did you get, okay, so let me back up. Sometimes as sport dietitians, people are a little hesitant to visit us because they don't know if there's something they need to change. Now, of course, most of the people who come to us, they know exactly what they need some help with, but some don't. So I kind of feel like we need to have a little buy-in, right? So it's that sales that you've been talking about. When you first started as an NBA sport RD, did you have to prove your worth? Did you, or were they already like, was the organization or the team, the coaches, were they already like, yes, this is a total buy-in? Or did you kind of have to sell them on the services of nutrition for health and performance?
For sure. From a management standpoint, they are very progressive here and they are so supportive. They knew from day one that it mattered. So that was, I'm thankful for that every single day I wake up. But from a player standpoint, especially because in the NBA, it's kind of like musical chairs. Players are coming in and out, in and out, in and out. It's like once you build that trust and rapport, boop, they're gone. So it's another massive challenge. But for sure, it's just the proof is in the pudding. It's kind of like, all right, what do you want to improve upon? All right, let's try these two basic goals. And then I'm constantly checking in and saying, did you notice you woke up earlier today? Did you notice you were less stiff today? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that was because of this and this we did last week. Now let's build on that. And when they can connect the dots, that is how I create the buy-in. And then building upon that is how you build the trust.
And you almost get, I call them my soldiers on the court, right? So I've got two guys specifically who I've worked with for a few years and it took about a year, but finally they're coming to me like, wow, I'm hitting my weight. My knees don't hurt. My joints don't hurt. I'm sleeping well. And you're like, you know what? Can you tell everybody else that?
Exactly. And then they tell two teammates and then it's like telephone. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Love it. Okay. We asked about supplements. How about hydration now? So maybe take us through again, the age groups. So from middle school, high school to collegiate to NBA, are there different hydration strategies or educational points that you try to make based on the age category?
Yes, but I don't know if I would say age category, because here's the thing. Some of these kids are young children are training their butts off year round versus I may have a high school athlete, even a college athlete that's like, hey, believe it or not, I just got started in the sport. I'm naturally pretty good. I don't know. So it's more of focusing on meeting the demands, right? And from a health standpoint, for sure, I'm encouraging ample electrolytes without a bunch of dye, without a bunch of artificial sweetener, right? Of course, that's more of the functional lens, making sure you're hydrating enough. And it's okay to have oatmeal and soup and different foods where you're hydrating through food as well. Just teaching that's basic to you and I, Bob, but it's not basic to a lot of these athletes, even the very skilled athletes. That's more of the focus. And if you're right, if you're a heavy sweater, if you see white drying on your clothes, you know all this, right? I mean, those are the points I'm teaching and supplementing accordingly.
I think it's interesting because if you look at an indoor sport like basketball versus an outdoor sport like lacrosse or football or whatever, the hydration strategies will change a little bit because mm-hmm. they may or may not be out in the elements. And I think that's, what would your messaging be for parents or listeners and athletes who have it predominantly are indoors training or indoors with their sport from a hydration perspective? Like, are there changes? Are they better able to assess their thirst perception indoor versus outdoor? I mean, are there any different messaging that you like to put in those scenarios?
More than anything, listening to your body. I mean, you don't have to be a full-blown cramper to need additional sodium and potassium, right? Magnesium, calcium. It's more of like, do you feel like you have dead legs? Do you feel like towards the end of the game, cognition maybe it's not there. You're not quite as sharp. You almost feel a little dizzy or foggy. Maybe you don't feel thirsty at all, but if you're having symptoms like that, then we need to hydrate, right? Beat yourself to the punch. Don't wait till the end of the game or the end of practice and then chug a bunch of sports drinks. That's the biggest issue, is teaching them the timing, right? Before and during the workout, indoor or outdoor, it doesn't matter, but beating yourself to the punch essentially and choosing good quality product and listening to your body. Because if you give that information, it applies to every age, every sport, indoor, outdoor.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I'm going to loop back functional nutrition here because you just hit on something that I want to ask about, because I get this question quite a bit. Dyes, colorings, preservatives, chemical additives, whatever. What could those potentially do? Because I know we're rolling that into nutrition, but I just want to pick on functional nutrition. What do we have? Is there any data on these things and maybe some deleterious effects that they may have on the body? I mean, obviously we try to stay away from these most of the time, but from your knowledge base and your experience, what do we need to tell our listeners about these things, these ingredients?
Sure, there's data, right? But one big message I want people to understand is that the research is almost behind, right? Sometimes, and that's any area of medicine, sports nutrition, anything. A lot of times the research doesn't pop up until 10 to 20 years after we started putting these pieces together. Okay, so think about that. And also too, part of the reason why a lot of research in this field maybe isn't as strong is because everyone is so biologically unique. Our DNA is so unique. Our gut health is so unique that you can't just say, well, yep, this works like this, and this is what's going to happen, because there's just, the human body is so complex and so physiologically unique that you can't just pinpoint that. It's more of like getting to know someone and their history and their metabolism and their detoxification capabilities. And again, listening, it goes back to that food journal. It all goes back to the food journal, right? If you're exhausted or you're hyperactive or your gut feels funky, there's probably something that's not working for you in that ingredient list. And just one more thought, not to talk everyone's face off here, but I had a mentor tell me something that was so profound when I first started learning functional nutrition, because I had the same questions you did. And they said, I don't really need a research paper to tell me that it's maybe not a good idea to eat garbage out of a trash can, right? I mean, that's an extreme analogy, but it really clicked, thinking that sometimes we don't need 15 studies to tell us that something is a problem.
That hits home. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, Kylene, one more for our fellow dietitians, maybe wanting to be sport dietitians or even sport dietitians listening. What messages do you have to them, knowing how we all came through the university system with functional or not functional, with traditional dietetics, looping in functional nutrition? What are your messages for our newcomers or just those who maybe want to transition more into sport nutrition from a functional nutrition standpoint?
Okay. Don't ever be hesitant to ask questions, dive deeper, and just dig into the challenge. If something feels off or not right, or you just feel like there might be something missing, even though that athlete went to 10 different healthcare providers and they said it's totally normal or it's totally okay, it doesn't mean that you can't dive deeper. You should, even if you don't even feel qualified or experienced. It's just kind of doing the work of a diligent dietitian, sports dietitian, any dietitian. Don't be afraid to dive deeper if something feels off, because it probably is.
Love that. Love it. Kylene, gosh, your players and athletes are so lucky to have you. Amazing messages throughout. Is there anything that we haven't mentioned with regard to functional nutrition or nutrition related to the sport of basketball, or no matter the level of athlete there, anything that we haven't touched on you feel is important to include?
Yes, just that it's never too early or too late to change your nutrition game, right? I have so many young athletes where the parents say, nah, we're not going to make any changes. They're only 8 years old. They're only 9 years old. I'm just going to keep letting them, you know, eat junk all day, and vice versa. Man, I'm 62. You really think that we can make a difference here? Yes, major difference on both ends of the spectrum. I see it day in and day out. So I guess just for anyone listening, it is never too early and it is never too late to make profound changes and change your performance and your overall health.
Yeah, such a good message. And, you know, one thing that you said earlier, Kylene, I just want to reiterate that, you know, feeling bad, and you qualify bad, it could be gut, could be immune system, headaches, cognition. It's not normal, right? I mean, every so often, okay, I have a headache. Okay, fine. But it's not normal to have those chronic symptoms. So I just really want to put it out there, right?
That was actually in my brain. That was the take home point. You nailed it. And yeah, not even a problem, but anything chronic, because some people would say, my nose is always dripping. I don't care. It's just, that's chronic, right? Mm-hmm. I am always kind of foggy, you know, I mean, but whatever, it's been there 13 years, but it's okay. You know, I just drink coffee. It's okay. But that's chronic, even though it may not be detrimental to your day, it's chronic. And that is a problem.
Yeah. I think a lot of us, as we go through the aging continuum, we're like, oh, it's just because I'm older now. Well, perhaps because there are biological changes, but you can do things about these.
Yes. And we do it every day.
I know. Exactly. I just think it takes, you know, it's funny because a lot of athletes like to live in the past sometimes, right? No, I want to be what I weighed in college or like whatever it is. And I just feel like they don't move forward with their new body, right? I mean, I feel like we get a new car every couple of years. That's our body. You know, that's the example there. And we have to learn how to drive that new car. We have to learn how to drive our new body, essentially, because there are things that are improving and deteriorating both at the same time.
Yeah. You nailed it.
All right, Kylene. So we're going to wrap this up with what we call our high five questions. So these, you do not know, but they're kind of rapid fire. You just let us know first answer that comes to your mind. Okay. And it's just so our listeners can get a little bit more, you know, kind of up close and personal with you and learn more about you. And of course, listeners, we'll put all about Kylene in our show notes. You just have to go to our website to look at that and know how to find her. But the first question is pretty easy. What's your go-to breakfast?
Ooh, go-to breakfast. So I would say a breakfast quesadilla, right? Where I have eggs and I have depends on the day, right? That's a nice thing.
Yeah.
Yate wrap. I don't have any affiliation with these companies, but it's the best. Yate wrap in a pan, eggs, maybe it's vegetables, maybe it's good quality bacon, maybe it's some guac, maybe I get wild with hummus, black beans. I don't know, but that's what it is.
That's one of my favorites too. I'm salivating right now.
I know. Amazing. Ooh.
I'm not original. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's good. Oh, question number two. When you're traveling with the team, Kylene, what's one thing you cannot leave home without?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Greens powder. I'm not going to name drop any brands, but
okay. Greens
powder.
I thought you were going to say like a big blender that you put in your bag or something. That
oh,
be like
were you thinking more for the play? You're thinking more for the players? Well,
oh, no, I mean, no, for you.
Okay. No. Yeah, for you.
Okay, okay. Right. Yep.
Can I just expand on that? Like why a greens powder for you when you're traveling?
Well, this powder in particular, right? It's a multivitamin, multimineral. There's a little pinch of probiotic, a little bit of antioxidants, and a little bit of digestive enzyme. So instead of carrying my whole little regimen, like boom, done, ice cold water, I could take on the day.
Got it. So this is number three is kind of a playoff your answer on that one, but just so listeners can kind of peek into your daily life, do you take supplements? And if so, what are the supplements you currently take?
I do. And it shifts all the time. So it's good that you said
correct. Yeah.
And again, no affiliation with any of these companies. I do not profit. So if you're, you know, I'm just mentioning it because it's sitting there right now. But I already mentioned the greens powder. And on the days where there's not a greens powder because I'm not traveling, really good multivitamin, right? Phyto Multi is like one of my favorite multivitamins for myself. Very comprehensive. In terms of training, because I'm secretly trying to be fast again, trying to run the 100 meter again.
Are you really?
Not sure it's going to work, but I'm trying. There's capsules called Perform by Mend, by the company Mend. And man, works wonders when I'm trying to train my butt off and work a long day.
What is that?
Tart cherry, turmeric, ginger, and ashwagandha. But that blend is like just magical.
Gotcha. Okay.
Nice.
Those are probably the two staples right now.
Okay.
All right. Okay. This one's a little more bizarre and a little bit more lengthy, but Kylene, okay. Imagine you're on the cliche deserted island, you know, all alone. You're going to be rescued, but you don't know quite when. What would be three things that you'd want to have with you to just get through that time.
Ooh, is this island heated? Is there heat? Is it hot?
We could say
that, you know that portable sauna blanket's coming. It's yeah. appropriate. All right, that's coming in a bucket full of hummus because it's my favorite. It's right. It's not going to go bad too quickly. It's filling, a little bit of protein, you know, all right? So we got a sauna and hummus.
Thorough.
But I need a third, you're saying?
I mean, yeah, let's throw in a third.
You know, I have this little water bottle that takes any kind of water and purifies it for you in case you're in a terrible situation. So that's what's going to, those are the three things that keep me alive.
Very practical, that last one. I'll tell you what. I mean, yeah, that's good. Okay. Last but not least, the final question for you. If we could only ask you to tell our listeners the number one piece of advice you have for them, only one, what would that piece of advice be?
Piece of advice is that you can't reach optimal performance without achieving optimal health. It's just the second you understand that, everything is going to change in your brain, the way you make decisions. You know, that kale, that's extreme, but that kale on the plate is going to seem so much less offensive if you know that that's what's needed to reach that peak. In the limited time that you have in your life to be the best in your sport, that's what I want to relay to your audience.
Amen to that. That is so important. Health before performance, right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we just want to thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts, just taking out, you know, this time and carving it for us on a very busy day. We do appreciate that. Listeners, we hope you gained a ton from Kylene. Kylene, thank you again from the bottom of our heart. Yeah. It means a lot. And listeners, hope you learned a ton, got some great golden nuggets. Stay tuned for the show notes and we'll catch you on our next episode. Thanks for listening. Well, we hope you enjoyed episode 121, where Dina and I sat down and had a nice chat with Kylene Bogdan, functional nutrition expert and sport dietitian for the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA team. Hopefully you picked up some great golden nuggets about functional nutrition, diagnostic testing, and maybe how to use that in your daily routine. Stay tuned for next week's episode when we talk to, drum roll please, Stacy Sims. Stacy is joining us again, Dr. Sims, on our podcast, and we are talking to her about all things female related, getting some great updates on what she's learned in the past year since we've had her on the podcast, and just getting a really, really good update on menstrual cycle for females, obviously, protein intake, timing, you name it, we're talking about it. Just do not miss that episode. If you do have a sport nutrition question that you would like Dina and I to answer, shoot us an email, hello@insidesportsnutrition.com, and let us know what it is. We'll include it on a future Ask Us Anything episode and would love to provide that service for you. We'd also love your support in helping us promote our podcast. If you could go to your podcast platform of choice, we would love for you to submit a review, 5-star review would be fantastic. Give us just a little review, spread the love around with family and friends and coworkers and training partners with you, just so we can kind of help spread the word to others around the world about what we're doing. We think it's pretty great, but we would appreciate your support also. You can also head on over to our website, insidesportsnutrition.com, find all of our show notes, find our partner discounts, some great resources over there too. If you would like to find out more information about what Dina and I offer in our respective businesses, check out Dina's services at nutritionmechanic.com and check out all my services at energyperformance.com. That's energyperformance.com. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the host and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.